I'd like to amplify and emphasize some of the amazing ideas which were offered in the yeshiva last week, and I'll say my way on them. Rabbi Shuster landed and explained the power of a mission, a shlichus. Seeing yourself as being here for a purpose, being sent from above. And we talk about being sent from above, it wasn't just an idea of my whole life being sent, but seeing every aspect of my life, my daily positions, the place I am this month and this week and this day. That's all part of the shlichus. Let's expand that idea with some real life examples in the Divrei Torah. Now, when you see someone who's on a mission, it's a totally different type of person. Totally different. I want to give some examples. I've been focusing recently on the life of Rav Aaron Cutler, who died in about 1963, who was the founder and the head of Lakewood Yeshiva, but someone who is so much more than just the head of yeshiva. He really changed absolutely and forever and definitely the faith of American Jewry, and brought concepts like learning Torah for its own sake, not to be a rabbi, not to be smart, not to get somewhere, certainly not to get honor. The idea of Torah Lishma, of learning Torah for its own sake, because the Torah is something that needs to be learned onto that side of the Atlantic, which as a communal consciousness was almost non-existent. And if we see so much focus on Torah learning in America today, it's a beautiful thing in American Jewry, U.S. Jewry, my belief is, more than any single individual, he was the one who brought that there. And he was the one who changed the face of things. And one thing that stands out about Rav Aaron, when you study his life, it's clear he was a man on a mission. It wasn't happenstance that it came out that way, just was the things, you know, situations. Chaim Volozhiner, a student of the Vilna Gaon, who we'll mention later in our little talk, who was the father of all modern yeshivas, said prophetically, if you will, the Torah is going to be goled, the Torah is going to exile to America. I find that's Lashon Chazal. Also, Asar Golis Niskalta Torah. Chazanish writes, V'achshav Torah Chozeres Lachsani Shalom, now Torah returns to Eretz Yisrael. But before the Torah is coming back to Eretz Yisrael, they had 10 Galuyot, just like the Jewish people are in exile, Torah goes to exile. And Reb Chaim said the Torah is going to exile to America. And Rav Aaron saw himself as a redeemer of that exiled Torah. And if the pure and unadulterated Torah is going to America, it's my job to follow it there and to see itself and to keep the pure and unadulterated Torah just that. Pure and unadulterated. In this context, I'll tell you another story of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. A fellow Rosh Yeshiva asked him one time, you know, why is it that Volozhiner is so wildly successful for 50, 60, 70 years? It was like the premier yeshiva of Lithuanian Jewry, the premier yeshiva in the world, you know, undoubtedly. There were hardly Hasidic yeshivas then at all until Meir Shapiro came much later, you know, based very much on what he'd seen in Lithuania. That concept, that was in the 30s, 1930s. We're talking from 1820s. 1850s, the Volozhiner closed in 1893. So a fellow Rosh Yeshiva asked him, why is Volozhiner so successful? Huh? And my yeshiva isn't so successful. What did you do? So being a good Jew, he was a great gadol, and a Kabbalist, and a halachist, and a Talmudist, and all that stuff. He was also Jewish. So how did he answer a question?
The question, right?
So he said to me, let me ask you a question. What did you do with the Hanachas Eben Apina? When they put the cornerstone down in your yeshiva, what did you do? You know, it's like when you're building the yeshiva, there's a whole thing. Put down the cornerstone, everybody comes. Cameras, paparazzi, everybody's there. What did you do? What did we do? We had a suda, we had a simcha, we had divrei Torah. You know, we danced, sang, all that. So Chaim says, I'll tell you what I did. When I put down the nachas pen, I was crying that my tears should mix with the cement of the yeshiva, that I should be successful in keeping Torah going according to the same yesod, the same foundations that the earlier generations had done it. That's why Volozhiner was successful, because of that ruach. And that was the ruach which Rav Aaron brought to America. He was almost the same. And he was on a glorious mission. Now, when we think about it, think for a second. If you could live like that, imagine yourselves if one could have a sense like that in himself, how much power that gave him, how much direction that gave him, how much ambition that gave him. Ambition. And with that, he changed the world. Let's take an example closer to us, the one I knew personally. Noach Weinberg was the founder and reshiva of Eshet Torah. Rav Noach was on a mission. He saw, like few others, some would say like no others, but certainly like few others, the possibility today, the possibility then, in the 60s and 70s, of bringing back people to Judaism. Today it's an obvious thing. It wasn't always obvious. People didn't believe it. He saw the possibility of bringing Jews back, and he saw the necessity of bringing Jews back. Rav Aaron Lopiansky, one of the Rosh Yeshiva, has spoken here many times, the Rosh Yeshiva in Silver Spring, said in eulogy for Rav Noach, you know, we all saw a sun setting, and he saw a sun rising. The whole world saw a sun setting. You couldn't talk to secular Jews. You couldn't be Makar of them. They weren't interested. The sun was setting on Jewry. He saw a sun rising. And seeing that sun rising, he was a man possessed. You know, I used to tell Rav Noach that if you could distract him a little, get him off, he was a very pleasant person to schmooze with. He had a lot to say. He was very interesting. He was very nice. But it was really hard to distract him. He was always on his point, you know. He could talk to Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel. A person did more than anybody. What are you doing for secular Jews? He would talk to Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel. A person's waving around with Parkinson's, you know, keeping the home mere floating, building buildings. But what are you doing for secular Jews? No, I had such a conversation. He was possessed and he was focused. And with that, as Shmuel Kamenetsky once said about him, I heard, you know, he changed the world. Mamas changed the world. And there are undoubtedly people, probably many people in this room, because of his efforts, either directly or indirectly, a few steps away, people he turned on to talk to you guys when you're in college, things like that. Rabozo, this idea, maybe there's a lesson in our dapim, in our sugya, about living with a mission. We speak about the vasikin that davened early. Everybody got to there, right? Vasikin davened. What's this word vasikin? So, I'm going to read a Rashi. I asked Rabbi Silver permission. I hope it's okay with him. Rashi says like this, Rabbi Silver. Who is a vasikin? What's the word? Vasikin. What is that word, vasikin? So Rashi says, ha-makdimim le-mitzvahs, they go early to do mitzvahs, mechazrim, and they seek lasot davar bizmano. They're people who are makdim to mitzvahs, they do the mitzvahs, they do the commandments early, mechazrim, they seek to do davar bizmano. It's a mindset. They want to be like we call a zariz. They do things with alacrity, they do things early, they wake up on time, they're throwing the three furrows early, they're with the practice ahead of time, right? That's them. Makdim el mitzvahs, mechazrim ladavar bizmano. So I was wondering, it's just my theory, if vasikin, thank you, if vasikin has something to do with the root vav saf kuf, which means what? Vatik? Even how, what? Old. When do we use the word vatik every week? Shalashuddis, song we sing? Huh? Yidid nefesh, vasik yamuna rachamecha. Old one, we refer to the Rosh Hashanah as an old one, right? So vasik means old. It's a word very much used in modern Hebrew also. Vatik yamuna rachamecha, arouse your old one. God, the old one, arouse your mercy for us. So vatik means old one. So I was wondering, it seems like the opposite. If the words are related, vasikin, which feels like it's related to these words. It's the opposite. So vasikin are people who are zariz and get to things. When we think about age, you know, we think about people who are slowing down or lack of alacrity, lack of zariz. So what's going on? So I'll just share an idea from Moshe Shapiro. The great Gaon is a Rebbe of the Rosh Yeshiva and the Yeshiva, Perador Vadaro. So he said like this. Where do we learn the idea that you have to stand for a Talmud Chacham, for a Torah scholar? So the Pasuk says, "Mipnei seva takum, in front of an old age you shall stand up. Vadarti, you shall make beautiful, pnei zakein, the face of a zakein." Huh? Pnei zakein. Or where do we see anything about a Talmud Chacham in that Pasuk? So zakein, the Gemara condition tells us, zeh shekana chachma. The word zakein, we break it down into like an acronym. Zakein is zeh, zayin, shekana, zakein, zeh shekana, zakein, zeh shekana. What was he kona? The one who acquired wisdom. A zakin is zeshe kana chachma. And that's how we know that you have to stand for a talmud chachma in this pasuk. What's the idea of a kinyan? What does it mean to acquire something? Well, what's that all about, the world of acquiring? So Moshe said like this. What's money? Why do people like money? Huh? People like money because it represents possibilities. It's ratzon kesef, it's kasuf. When you have money, you can do things, right? What's an acquisition? I take all those possibilities and I focus into a specific point. I had $100, but now it's going to the new car. I had $10,000 now, but I could have done a plethora of things with that $10,000, but it's focus, and now I'm buying a new car. So it's about focus. It's about decision. It's about taking the world of possibilities, narrowing it down, and doing something. Zeshekana Chachma. So that's what the Talmud Chacham did. Zeshekana Chachma. He acquired Chachma, but that was part of a life decision to focus, take all those abilities and put it into something. You could be doing anything. Most in my mind, there's nothing more beautiful than you see a young kid, a teenager, who's sitting and learning. You know, because we're already at a later stage of life. It's also beautiful. But you see a 13-year-old, just growing, just getting his, you know, all that stuff. And he decides, you know what? I'm not going to look at a left, right, anything. I want to study. I don't want to do this and that and waste time with this and that. That's an amazing choice that a youngster makes. It's an amazing choice that everybody in this room makes. Zeshe kana chachma. He could have a little, like, he could have someone else parnas on the side, like Rabbi Lanner amazingly taught us also. Taras umnasa. Doesn't mean he doesn't work. Doesn't mean he doesn't take care of himself. But his shi'ifa, his desire, what moves him, where his head is, where his ratzon is all in chachma. Zeshe kana chachma. We find an expression when Chachamim referred to the earlier days, Ramosha said, you find in Tshuva Svarim in different times, Perushim, they call Bimei Chorpi. In my youth, I said this. Right? Now I said maybe different, now I said the same. I heard this question 30 years ago, Bimei Chorpi. You'll find that language. Bimei Chorpi. Think, what's the word Chorpi? What's that word, youth? What's the word Chorif? It means what? No, Chorif. Winter. It's amazing. It's so opposite the secular perspective. How does the secular perspective look at youth? That's the spring of my life. I can do anything. It's so much fun. When I was younger, there was a song, Forever Young, I Want to Be Forever Young. I just want to be forever young. You know, who does the world respect? You have an old geezer who's acting like a child. Oh, wonderful. You know, look at him. He's just beating age. He's not living with age. It's amazing. I remember my Rebbe told me, I saw, he has a Swiss accent, I saw a man with gray hair with a virtual reality hat. I couldn't believe it. He's playing a game with gray hair. He was shocked. What's age, Rabosai? That was our, by a Talmud Chacham, by a person who's grown in his life, that's your Chorav. That was the winter of my existence. That wasn't the spring. I didn't know what I was doing. I was unfocused. I was all over the place. That wasn't my spring. That was my winter, Bimei Chorpi. Before I focused my life, made my decision, recognized my shlichus, saw what I could accomplish, that was the winter of my life. That wasn't the spring of my life. Now, I've reached something. I know what I'm doing. The mission, I think, teaches this idea powerfully. Last mission in Kinnan, which I think is the last mission in all of Seder Kachim. From Shimon, Shimon Akasha Omer, Ziknei Am Aretz, those not connected to Torah, right? Older people just not connected. Don't have a Torah perspective. Kol Zman Shimon Kinnan, Daitim Mitarev Islam. As they get older, their mind is deeply unsettled. They become less and less settled. Avozikne Torah, those connected to Torah, older men of Torah, Einan Kane, they're not like that. Elakolazman Shimaskin and Daita Mid Yeshevis Aleim. Their das, their chachma, their wisdom is misyashiv on them. They're more and more settled in what they did. They look back and they say, I made the right choices. It was worth it. It was worth all the mysterious nefesh that I put in. It was worth coming to Yeshiva. It was worth staying in Yeshiva an extra moment. It was worth another Zman. The ideas become clearer, more focused, more pointed. So that's what age is supposed to be. Our youth is a chorif before I made decisions. I was running around, I was so much fun. I had nobody on me and nothing. I had no wife, no kids, no this, that. Ah, so great. That's not life. That's not the purpose. That's why Yeshama came down here, to run around, to focus. We made chorfi. Kana. Zeshe kana chachma. I made kinyanim. I made decisions. I acquired something. I'm someone different than I could have been. I'm not just a human being that just went with the age and just here I am. So both say, maybe that's a point. Then Vasikin and Zrizus. Age makes someone more focused, more mission-like. And a Vasik is more Zariz. Age brings someone to Zrizus because I'm focused and I'm on a mission now and I know what I'm doing. And that's maybe why Vasikin are called the word age and the word Zrizus go together. So both say, maybe we don't have as grand a mission. Maybe we do. As Rav Aaron Cutler of Noach Weinberg. But each and every one of us is special. Every human being is special, of course, and every Jew, but especially you guys in the top 1% of humanity, probably, if you made it to where you are. You know what life's about, you're on your way, and the mission might be different for all of us, the bigger mission. It might be living a completely from life in these crazy times, being Ma'amid Torah home. It might be, even though I came from a difficult background, where my parents fought with each other, I'm going to give my kids a different type of life. It could be bringing Kiddush Hashem through your work, that's your mission. going to chinuch and building something. We all have different shlichos, but the more we touch that idea that I'm on a mission, I'm a vasik, I'm making decisions, the more we believe in it, the more we're going to accomplish. On a totally different page, I like to refer to another idea which was stated last week, if I may. Everybody can take a breath. I want to amplify and continue something that Rabbi Nachman Lanner said last week. Just remind you, when he got to the advice point of his amazing talk, so he offered three pieces of advice based on the Mishnah. Aseilecha Rav, Kneilecha Chaver, Vaseilecha Rav Chaver. Let's go backwards, right? What was the idea of a Rav Chaver? Get a mentor. Get a mentor, someone who is not a Rav, a friend who's passed you a little bit, has gone through a similar way to you, and tap into his wisdom and his direction, his advice, and how he put it all together, which is really what we're trying to do in those Rosh Chodesh lunches, to show you examples of people who could be a Rav Chaver to you. Knei Lecha Chaver said, you know what, get a Chavrus and it costs money. I'm available, just joking. Knei Lecha Chaver. And Aseh Lecha Rav, he said, specifically, not just a Rav to get advice from, not just a Rav to ask what bracha to make, get a Rav to talk and learning with, to keep your Torah learning on the rise. Someone you talk to on a higher level. Someone you talk to the way you spoke about things in yeshiva. So I want to continue this idea and focus more on this incredibly idea of having a Rav. This is a misunderstood concept for both sides. On more than one occasion, I've heard this statement. Okay, we're going to talk about some misunderstood statements. Here it is. I want to start dating. I need a Rebbe. I've heard that more than once. No. It should be like this. I want to start dating. I need a Rebbetzin. Tarte mashma. You might need a Rebbetzin to guide you. And you're looking for a Rebbetzin, right? What you really need when you date is a miyayitz. Something to give you good advice. That's not a Rebbe. That's not what we mean when we say, that's not what the Mishnah means when it says, it's a good idea, but something else. A Rebbe is someone who your chachma comes from. My Torah wisdom and my Torah way comes through that individual. That's what a Rebbe means. The Gemara in Bava Metzia speaks about a Rebbe Muvach, a grand Rebbe, right? A main Rebbe. And the Gemara defines, what's a Rebbe Muvach? Someone who's Rov Chachmasa, most of his wisdom is through that person. So you see the Gemara is saying what a Rebbe is, it's obvious, but the Rebbe is saying that that's most of my wisdom came through this person. So the lower level Rebbe maybe is not most of my wisdom, but my wisdom and my derech came through him. We're part, as Rabbi Shuster said yesterday, of a tradition that goes back to Sinai. A Rebbe is someone who connects us to that chain. You know, there's a beautiful formulation that I'm told they use sometimes in Chavetz Chaim yeshivas. There's a whole system of yeshivas in American high schools called Chavetz Chaim. A wonderful, wonderful system. And they'll use this language. We were mekabel from Henoch Leibovich, who was the Rosh Yeshiva for many years. He passed away. Zichron Lebracha. Reb Henoch was mekabel from Reb David, his grandfather. Reb David was mekabel his father. Reb David Leibovich's father. Reb David was mekabel from the Alter Slobodka. He learned in Slobodka. He was learned by the Chavetz Chaim. The altar was Mekavah from the altar of Kelm. The altar of Kelm was Mekavah from Yisroel. Yisroel was Mekavah from Bzunda Salanter. Bzunda Salanter was Mekavah from Rechaim Volozhiner. And Rechaim Volozhiner was Mekavah from the Gra. They see themselves as being connected to Vilna Gaon. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing way to think. It's an amazing way to view yourself. So a Rebbe is there to provide that connection, distilling the wisdom of the generations down to us and to become part of that Mahal of come of his way. I want to correct another statement. Listen to this one. I need a community for my kids. Me, I'm independent. I can just live on my own. I recognize my kids never have to live within the community, so I put them in a community. We'll say, we need a community. We all need guidance. We all need to be part of something bigger than ourselves. We can't figure it out by ourselves. You know, I want to explain this point. I'm a proud member of the Lithuanian tradition. Last week, I was holding a sefer of Reb Tzadik HaKohen, who was a grand Hasidic Rebbe, in my hands on Rosh Chodesh. A whole book of Reb Tzadik's thoughts just on Rosh Chodesh. Both sides, I can tell you everything I know about Rosh Chodesh in 10 to 15 minutes. Yeah? And here's a whole book. How did I have the audacity not to be a chassid or a tzaddik HaKohen? But let's not start with him, both sides. I like to read sometimes works of the, we might visit the Tzanz community. The Tzanz community was founded by someone named the Klosenberger Rebbe. It was Kodesh Kedashim. It was the holiest of the holy, the Gona Gonim. Rav Asher Weiss, the famous Rav Asher Weiss, was one of his many students. Rav Asher Weiss's brother, it's his son-in-law. Holzberg was a massive. Holzberg Rebbe, though, had a great-grandfather, a great-great-grandfather, it was a lot bigger than him, named the Divrei Chaim, Chaim of Tzanz. So I read a tshuva that the Holzberger wrote about his grandfather to explain one of his halachic hanhagas. I want to explain to you why my father, my grandfather, great-grandfather, whoever it was, made Kiddush before this. I don't even remember what it was. But listen to what he said. I can't possibly fully explain to you why my grandfather did what he did, because we know everything he did, he had how many reasons for? Someone guess? 300. Every hanhaga my grandfather had 300 reasons for doing it. Can you imagine such a person? If you think one of us Litvak, even Rav Hirschowitz down with the Shneur Zalman, the Balatani, he says, Shneur Zalman, have a seat. I want to explain to you how Tzimtzum really works. Come. You have a few minutes? We'll say, how in the world do I have the audacity? How do any of us have the audacity not to follow them? Not to be part of their tradition? Yeah? That's even people who learn it, but that's not my tradition. I don't go to the mikveh every day. Now, both sides, if you don't think it's an important question, it's a really important question, because if we don't get the right answer, you're all going to have to follow James and Naftali and buy enough gartels. So let's hear the answer. There's only one answer. You know what the only answer is? Because there are other rabbis named the Vilna Gaon. That was it. That's the only real answer. You think you could? You think Reb Tzadik, you would explain to him? Divrei Chaim, you could talk to him about your derech? And the same thing. Let's take our young chassid. Let's talk about the founder of Lithuania there. Well, so I want to tell you something about the Gra. Two things you might not know. The Gra finished, has a wonderful Perush on Shir Hashirim. When he finished his Perush on Shir Hashirim, his commentary on Shir Hashirim, which is full of Sodas HaTorah, Secrets of the Torah, and all types of things, he called his Talmidim in, and he said, I'm making a Siyam. And he lit a lot of candles, and he said, I'm a Siyam. But he said, Rabosai, this isn't just a Siyam on my commentary on Shir Hashirim. This is a Siyam on Kol HaTorah Kula, on the whole Torah. And I understand, these are the words he said, I understand the whole Torah, the revealed parts and the unrevealed parts, and it's all clear to me, besides two Zohars, two things in Zohar which I don't understand, and I would walk to the ends of the earth if there was someone who could explain them to me. Do you understand such a human being? Let's say another thing about the Gra. He had a dream. He had a dream. Yeah? He stole it from him. He had a dream. We'll say. In the dream, he had 2,100 pshatim, in a few psukim in Parsha Shlach, from the psukim of Olu Zeh B'Negev. 2,100 pshatim in a dream in one few psukim. This is a person. This is a human being. 2,100 psukim. And from one of those psukim, he understood all the varim of the body, all the functions of the whole body. It means the Gra even knew what the appendix was for. As just a side thing, as one of a percentage, a small fraction of a percentage of what it was revealed to him in that one dream that he had. This is the Gra. Maybe it was just him. Let's talk about one other of the Gaoni Adoris, Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Akiva Eiger was the Rav in Posen. So Elchanan Wasserman, who was one of the Gedolim in pre-war Europe, one of the Torah leaders, student of the Chavetz Chaim, Rav, the Rashiva of Baranovitch Yeshiva, said it. He wanted to explain to students the greatness of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. He says, I don't understand, now no offense to anybody here, but if Rabbi Elchanan said this, he would say, we could also say, I don't understand one daf in Shas. What do you mean? Rabbi Chanan has far more learned every single day in every yeshiva in the world. He meant, I think, to understand all the back and forth and the makshim and tarets, every havamin, every this, every rashi. I don't understand one daf really, really well. That's what he said. I mean, it's one of the gedolei ador, mamish, and ador way beyond ours. He said, I don't understand one page. Imagine what a person would be like who knew 10 daf. Imagine someone who knew 100 daf. Imagine someone who knew 1,000 daf. So Rabbi Chanan said, I don't understand one daf. Rabbi Kivego understands 1,000 daf. That's what he said about him. So these are just the two examples we're supposed to say. So how could you be a Hasidic? There's only one answer. Get rid of your gartel. Time for a short coat. You go to the mikveh once a year, twice a year, you'll be all right. Stop going to kfarim. No. I have the Baal Shem Tov. I have a Tzadik. Rabosai. So we're all deeply dependent on tradition. There's a great power to this. Amar Magmalil, Aselecha Rav Istalik Min HaSafik. Make for yourself a Rav and get out of doubt. The Mishnah tells us at the beginning of Avos. Doubt seems the Mishnah is assuming something to avoid. Ain't Simcha Ketaris HaSafik. It's the standard everybody knows. There's no joy like getting out of doubt. Getting past Safik. Having a Rav helps that in a great way. When one is part of a tradition, when he has a Rav, he has a surety about what he's doing. Others do different. That's fine. Doesn't mean I'm the only one who's right. It's not to mean I have the only derech. That's not the point. It's not philosophy or most. We're talking about our lives. Our life is to go in a derech, to have a mahalach, to know what we're doing. I can't have doubt. I don't have other mahalachim, as we just explained. There are a lot of mahalachim. But I have a derech, I have a mahalach, I have strength. I want to explain further this point for a moment. Let's say I would learn things from the Divrei Chaim, which I would be very happy to do. I'd be very happy to do. If I had time, I would. And I learned a lot of Hasidic form. But it's very different for me when I read a Hasidic Sefer. This is me personally, but I think it's the right way to look at it. Then when I read something with Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is my Rebbeim, and my Rebbeim is Rebbeim, and my Rebbeim, Rebbeim is Rebbeim. And someone I resonate with, I feel like he's a Rebbe to me. He's a Rebbe to me. It's not just I'm not perusing a Sefer, I'm not even learning it deeply. His words obligate me. His words are my mahalach. His words are something which I feel obligated to. And I feel confident in following the things he says. Is this another opinion? Another opinion. So I'm not responsible to understand all the opinions. I have a small little brain. Just trying my best. But he's a Selah Harabic, the Stalagman of Suffolk. And living that life brings a focus, it brings clarity, it brings joy, and it helps us realize that Torah is obligatory. Listen to this well, guys. It makes us realize that Torah obligates me. It's not just a world of nice possibilities, of beautiful pshatim, of beautiful ideas, and then I don't know which ones to pick. Sometimes being too strict on myself, sometimes being a little too lenient when I'm not allowed to. That's not what Torah is. Torah is obligating. Torah is horah. Torah is a way. Torah is here to tell us what to do, not just to dabble and pick and hear beautiful ideas. And my rebbeim don't have to be the biggest of the best, but they're the people who can provide me with a connection. That's what you look for. I don't look at my rebbeim to be the biggest of the best. I have critique on some of my rebbeim, excuse me for saying. Hope they're not listening. We'll say, but they're my connection. It's not about that. And when you say I'm looking for the biggest and the best, it means you don't get the point. It's like saying I'm looking for the biggest and the best woman in the world to be my wife. Why? You need a wife. You don't need necessarily the best person in the world. You're the best person in the world. You need a wife. You need a connection. I need to be going back. Shir HaChiddush, we'll end with this, that I heard from Rav Volba, Shlomo Volba, the great Mashgiach. He said you can have a sefer as a Rebbe. A person can have a book that he looks at his Rebbe, and he put down his father-in-law's sefer, the great Taras Avram, Rav Avram Grudzinski, the great last Mashgiach of Slobodka. Hashem Yukom Domo, Zecher Tzadik B'Kadosh L'Bracha. He said he knew people who made that book as a Rebbe. Now let's understand again. Does that mean that they read it? That they learned it? That they gleaned nice ideas? They said things over? You can read hundreds of books, but a book isn't a Rebbe. What Rav Volba was saying is that there are people who live their life according to the Taras Avram. He obligated them. He was real for them. He was a way for them. He was a hashkafa. He was a way to look at things. Someone you couldn't just turn away from and say there are other opinions. That's the point. I don't feel I could just look at things my rebbeim and say it's another opinion. When I read a Sfas Emes, that's an opinion. And the two points for both, like just to finish, we're saying today really amplify and connect each other. It's about surety. It's about focus. It's about joy. When a person has a mission, a shlichus, he has those things. Surety, focus, joy. And a person has real rebbeim, he also has those things. Hashem should help that we should all recognize our different shlichus and we should find and attach ourselves to great rebbeim. Amen.